It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Islanders have been a little bit leaky with the defense. The New York Rangers have been hot out west. And are the Edmonton Oilers in trouble? All that and more today on Big Apple Hockey. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Big Apple Hockey. Trying some new things to make sure we can kind of hook some of you viewers or new viewers up right away. And, we had every team in the NHL was playing last night. We're going to be talking more about that later. I am the well-traveled Mark Williams, who is also 8 for 8 on a parlay last night. I would like to say thank you very much to the 8 teams that I picked. And... the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. John Falkowski.
Big win last night for the Rangers.
Yeah, it was a very big win and to keep their momentum going. And the man who is not going to forget the little people as he was on NHL radio the other day, Mr. Anthony LaRocco.
That was pretty cool last Saturday. Hope some of you guys got to catch that. But, last night was a great night. The Frozen Frenzy, a lot of games, a lot of action. Hockey fans' dream, so... we'll see if they keep, if they do that going forward when there's a lot of games on the docket.
What do you guys think about that? Even though we're going to talk more about it in a little bit, what do you guys think?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Thought it was awesome. I get the scheduling reason just because you don't want to go up against NFL college football on a Saturday or a Sunday right now. You're going to have to wait to do that later in the season. But, I mean, it's really cool to get it on a Tuesday night in the NHL. Nice weather out. It's still early in the season. Everybody plays. Everybody's highlighted. ESPN, I think, did a pretty good job of it, all things considered. And I loved it. I drank and watched hockey all night. So I'm happy.
Well, I was getting ready to go to Arizona. But like I said, I had a big night with my betting. And we're going to go right to the A block. And we're going to go with the New York Islanders, who have not exactly had a great week for them. First off, by the way, everybody, once again, the A block is powered by SeatGeek. And make sure you use the promo code Big Apple Hockey, $20 off your first order. And the Big Apple Hockey Trucker hats and some shirts are available right now. Again, Mr. Anthony LaRocco debuted on the NHL Network talking about the New York Islanders, where he mentioned some of those amazing saves that Ilya Sorokin made. But Anthony, rough week for the Islanders, 0-3. They lost to New Jersey and Buffalo and Colorado. What are your positives and takeaways for the Islanders this week?
Well, to correct you, 0-2-1, or 0-3, 0-2-1 by the NHL standards.
I mean, I did this way too fast to get it started.
it's funny is that, like, you're glad that they scored, been scoring goals, 4 goals against Devils, 4 goals against Colorado. That's good. But those are, 2 explosive teams, 2 of the, better offensive teams in the league. And you don't want to get into a track meet with those teams. You need to stick to their game, which is defense first. Because again, odds are, when you do get into a run and gun style of game with some of those elite teams offensively, the result is what you're going to see. They just need to be better defensively. And it's like it's quite astonishing because typically, when your goaltender gives up 5 goals, you wouldn't think that he was the reason why you at least had a chance to win those games. And both those games, again, the game against New Jersey. Sorokin made the 2 highlight reel saves, the glove save on Hughes and then later on Bastion. And 4 of those goals were on the power play. He gave them a chance to win the game. And then again last night, once again, last night he made two highlight reel saves that are going to be talked about, you know, throughout the rest of the season as contenders for save of the year. He did the paddle save again, which is the third time he's done that now. And then Filk mentioned that toe save, which was even better on Ross Colton. He got that too. He made a breakaway save on Ryan Johansson, you know, so again, despite giving up five goals, he's been good in those games. And it's just when you have defensive breakdowns where you let, what, the third best player in the world, roughly, and fourth, Nathan MacKinnon, walk off the sidewall and the slot and rip a shot. I mean, you're when you let a player like that get a high danger scoring chance like that, more often than not, they're gonna put it in the back of the net. You know, Cale Makar's goal, the guy skated through everybody and unleashed a backhand, which, you know, every goalie will tell you the backhand is one of the hardest shots to track because you don't really know where it's going to go. And, you know, he roofed it, and you can't be giving up those opportunities like that. As good as your goaltender may be, when you have these players getting these chances, they're going to finish. And overall, I thought the Islanders were sloppy against Colorado. They were sloppy against New Jersey. You know, they were sloppy against the game in Buffalo that they lost. So while they've scored goals, which is definitely good to see, you know, Kyle Palmieri and Noah Dobson are both leading the team in points with 5 points in those five games. And, you know, Nelson's playing well, and that's all good, but they need to get back to what works for them. And that's playing what we talked about, you know, boring hockey. Boring hockey is what wins them games. That's the style that they need to play. And especially against those good teams like Colorado and New Jersey. Yeah, you know, if you want to get into a run and gun game with, you know, San Jose, or you want to up the depth, I mean, that's fine. Chances are, you know, they're not really going to be able to hurt you as much as these other teams. But Pelech, Pulock, they got to be better. You know, everybody defensively, you have to pay more attention to detail to the puck, and they just got to be better defensively. It's really the simplest way to put it, because right now they're not playing well defensively, and it's hurting them.
Bill, how about those saves that Anthony was mentioning that Sorokin made? That paddle save, it's just becoming commonplace, isn't it?
He's got, I would say, four, maybe five saves so far that are probably going to be up for save of the year at the end of the year. I mean, he's the reason why they're not 0-5 right now, if you ask me. I don't think this Islander team has played well at all, even in their wins. I thought that they were a bit shaky in some of those wins. I mean, the shutout win that they had against Arizona, I think they were good in that one, but there were times where Arizona was taking the game back from them and looked like they could have tied it. I've watched this team very more closely than I have in years past. I'll be totally honest with you. And I just think, like, something's not right with this team. There's just something that's off mentally with them, because it's breakdown after breakdown after breakdown. And the attention to detail that was there for years under Barry Trotz is not there right now. I wonder if it's just them not responding to Lane Lambert, if it's Lambert's message not getting across. I mean, again, the conversations we had with them last year were, you know, how long do we chalk this up to adjusting to Lambert's system as opposed to, you know, playing with Trotz? And this is carrying over, and that's that. Honestly, if I'm an Islander fan, that's a big red flag for me. I'd really be concerned about that, because they shouldn't be playing like this and just blowing assignments left and right and leaving guys wide open in the slot, or having I get it, it's Cale Makar. He's one of the best puck movers and one of the best skaters ever. But there's no way that guy should just go in like that untouched one on four and score backhanded like that. I'm sorry, but if you're playing better defense, that doesn't happen, even with a guy that skilled. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think that they need to get, like Anthony said, get back to the basics. Get back to playing defense. Get back to playing boring hockey. Get back to playing it in your face. Get back to playing that agitating, annoying, frustrating style of hockey that they played for the last 5 years beforehand. I don't see why they don't do it. And to me, if they don't start doing it sooner than later, they're going to find themselves out of the playoff race. And I know it's early. It's very early. It's five games. But these are the types of signs that just for going as long as it's gone really, really concern me. And yeah, there's a ton of time for them to turn it around. I'm not saying the sky is falling right now or anything, but if they don't fix this sooner than later, it can become very problematic for them.
Look, that's 100% right as far as they need to fix this sooner than later. Now, I think one thing that can encourage you is the amount of offense that they're putting out there. There is a ton of offense. But again, as Anthony was mentioning before, the Islanders are just, they play boring hockey. That's what they did. And as Brian's saying right here, Trotz brought this level of respect to a club that Lane lacks a little bit. And you know what? I don't think you're wrong, Brian. And I think one thing about what they're doing right now, because again, their PK got lit up by the Devils, and that's been a bit of an issue.
That's a completely separate issue. I'm surprised Anthony didn't bring that up, because letting up, what, 4 power play goals in one game to the Devils? That's bad. When was the last time the Islanders had that happen?
I can't even remember the last time it happened. But
I think it was the Doug Wade era.
And you know, and that's
before that.
That's the frustrating thing. I mean, they outscored the Devils, you know. I mean, obviously you want to count the game, the overtime winner, but, you know, 4-1 in the game when they're at even strength. You know, you can't let up 4 power play goals in a game, you know, even when you have a team as skilled as the Devils. And, you know, last night, again, the Avalanche, you can't get suckered into the way the Avalanche wanted to play. I get it. The Avalanche are a fast team. They play with speed. So, you know, you have to match that. But the Avalanche wanted them to get into their style of game. And that's exactly what happened. The Islanders got suckered into playing with the Avalanche, that style. And again, it's encouraging that, you know, they hung in there though with the Avalanche and matching kind of goal for goal. But that's not the way you want to play that team. You know, and there was like that 10-minute stretch in the third period where the Islanders tied it, took the lead at 3-2. They were really bringing their game to the Avalanche. And then what happened? Two late breakdowns where they weren't careful with the puck, and they scored 2 goals in 13 seconds before the end of the second period. And, you know, that was, you know, I know Lee tied the game earlier in the third, but you kind of had the sense when that happened that it wasn't going to end well for the Islanders. So, again, five games, 2-2-1. I'm not going to ring the alarm bell now, but, you know, they need to straighten out their defense and get back to basics.
And by the way, Anthony, that Anders Lee goal, my goodness, Alexander Georgiev wishes he could have that one back.
He just missed it.
Georgiev looked very good last night.
He whiffed on it.
Yeah, he just absolutely whiffed. Like, what do you just think Anders Lee was going to do? You have to be ready for a shot.
He took an uncharacteristically bad penalty, too, that put Colorado on a power play, and I believe Colorado ended up scoring on that power play. You can't – that's another thing. They've taken just unbelievably stupid penalties in some of these games. And it's just – it's a very undisciplined look for a team that was built on discipline over Barry Trotz's tenure. So that's another thing that concerns me.
Well, before we get to the final word on the Islanders, it's just, and as far as like, you look at those goals last night, the only one, if you want to fault any of them on Sorokin, maybe the Rantanen goal, but he still had to go post to post on it. The only reason why I'm saying fault on it is you look at the look on Sorokin's face. Sorokin thought he should have had it. I think anytime you have to go post to post, the goalie gets the benefit of the doubt to me. The Royal Road, as Steve Alakek calls it. So,
but again, you know, that was a two on one that developed inside the zone, and it was a guy that scored 53 goals last year or whatever he scored. It's tough, but they put him in a tough spot, and he gave him a chance to win the game. And unfortunately, they just, like I said, those 13 seconds at the end of the second period where they just were careless with the puck, that was the game.
All right. Well, quick little nugget about the New York Rangers, because the New York Rangers last week, 2-1, they had wins over Seattle and last night over Calgary. But that effort versus Nashville was absolutely horrendous. Phil, what are your positive takeaways from the New York Rangers this week?
I'll start with the negative before I go to positive, just because I think there's a lot less negative to cover. The negative is that there are some slow starts in these games. I've noticed that they started a little slow against Seattle. They started slow last night against Calgary. Filipino had an absolutely brutal, I would say, first 2 minutes of the game where he tried to make a pass through the neutral zone. Puck got turned over and then blows the assignment on Blake Coleman in his own zone, leading to Calgary's only goal. I mean, he got those out of the way early, which was good. The Rangers started very, very slow overall in that game. They started extremely slow and natural, and that was just the way how that game went. No effort against Nashville. You could have won that game if you showed up to play, because Nashville's not that good of a team. And the way that they played against Seattle, I mean, again, another kind of slow start, but again, the positives, rebounding. And their second periods have been really good overall this season. They've been really, really good in second periods, and they've played lockdown defense in the third period. So this team is getting leads, and then they're just going into shutdown mode, and they're giving teams nothing, just absolutely nothing. They are one of the top teams in the league in terms of shots allowed on net, least shots allowed. They were really, really good defensively in a lot of these games for a big portion of like the second halves of games. The scoring has woken up. Artemi Panarin looks great. He looks more like the MVP caliber player he was in his first 2 years in New York. Filip Hedl has 5 assists in his last 2 games. He's a point per game right now. Adam Fox is a point per game. Chris Kreider is a point per game with 5 goals. Mika Zibanejad needs to find himself. He does not look good at all. He doesn't. He's missing nets way wide on shots. His defensive play is leaving a lot to be desired. I wonder what's going on with him. Kaapo Kakko has not shown me anything in this regular season. For a guy who looked as good as he did in preseason, Kaapo Kakko has not looked good at all. I'm sorry. He's just aside from like the goal that he had and maybe a couple of plays here and there, he just has not really done the job. Alexis Lafreniere, on the other hand, has looked really good. He's been robbed, I would say, of about 2 assists. He should have 5 points. He had assists on 2 goals that he was not awarded assists for some reason. So, yeah, this line right here has been their best line, hands down. It's one of the best lines in the NHL, easily. Igor Shesterkin has not been great so far, but But his game last night was best night game of the season so far. He made the saves that he needed to make in order to keep the Rangers ahead in that game and in that game when they were down by 1, because he was under siege at various points. So I love what I see from Igor last night. I hope this is the sign of things to come, because his previous starts were not that good, and he wasn't tested against Buffalo. I would say, if anything, I want to see more from Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren in terms of defensive play. They've kind of been a little shaky here and there. They had some shifts last night where I was like, what are you guys doing? I want more from them. I expect more from them. Although I will say, the unsung hero of defense has definitely been Erik Gustafsson. He has just been a revelation for this team. From the start of training camp to now, he's been a revelation. He's got 4 points already. He looks really good on power play too. And if they want to change things up, maybe they should try putting him on power play 1 and seeing how that blast works. Because they need more left-hand representation on that power play. That's one thing I would change there. Power play starting to get better. PK has been really good. But from time to time, they space out defensively. And that's one thing that I think that'll get fixed over time. But when they're playing their game, they get ahead. And once they decide to lock down, that's it. Game over. So Jonathan Quick, I'll even give him his props. He was okay in his game against Seattle. There were times where he was tested. Not many, but when he was tested, he was good, and that's a bonus. So Rangers looking good so far. Just need to work a few kinks out, and can't have any more slow starts the way that they've had they need to stop getting behind in games and get ahead early and then lock it down from there.
Yeah, Anthony, did you see that Seattle game? It looked like the lighting in the old Dix Hills rink.
Yeah, quick made a comment about it, like that would be a climate pledge arena. But yeah, that was funny. I mean, it happens. It happens. I mean, if you're going to go, so, I mean, my take, I mean, I was kind of laughing for because Phil basically kind of took two of my negatives. I mean, Zibanejad, he has 5 points, but he has no goals. And for a guy who's really a goal scorer, you know, he needs to find the net. He's definitely looked off in that regard. I mean, we saw, you know, what was it last year? Barzal had 11 assists or 12 assists before he got his first goal. So I don't know.
I thought it was 15 or 16.
Yeah, trend in that direction. But Zibanejad needs to just find a way to finish. He needs to be better in that regard. Again, Kako's got 2 points in 6 games. I mean, I know some people here writing comments, they disagree with Phil's assessment there. But I actually do think he hasn't been playing that particularly well. He needs to show more.
Isn't that noticeable?
Yeah, no, you know, he really hasn't. But the first line, Panarin, Hedl, and Laff, that line has been great for sure. I thought Trocheck has looked pretty good on both sides of the ball.
Great.
I like how he's skating, how he's playing. Eric Gustafson, I mean, this is a guy, you know, we all know about it. He had that career year in Chicago many years ago, and last year between Toronto and Washington, he had 42 points. So he's a guy that could certainly score. The knock on him has always been, you know, he wasn't really great defensively, but, you know, he's done what he's had to do so far. So hopefully for the Rangers, he can keep that going. It'll make, you know, their second power play unit more dangerous. You know, Quick, again, Jonathan Quick in the preseason, he looked, honestly, he looked toast. But in the mop-up duty game he got in Nashville when Shesterkin got pulled, I thought he looked good. And then the game in Seattle, you know, he got the job done. So, you know, if he could play at least at that level, that will at least give the Rangers some comfort knowing when you give Igor rest, it's not going to be just a total, you know, throwaway game. Because, you know, he's gonna need to prove that he can go in there and, you know, get a win when necessary. You know, but overall, you know, I think the Rangers are playing a good game. What's surprising me was what Phil mentioned. When they're getting a lead, they have been shutting the opposition out and not giving them much. In years past, that really hasn't been the Rangers, you know, MO. There are a lot of times where they let a team back in the game by scoring a couple, and they just look a lot better sound defensively. Obviously, minus the Nashville game, for sure. But overall, I like the way they're playing within their structure. And that's, you know, just a testament to Laviolette finally imploring a system. No knock on Gerard Gallant, but it's, you know, it's basically what's happening here. So through the first 6 games, you know, 4-2 record, obviously you take that and run, you know, and hope that you keep building on your game. Igor, like Phil mentioned, wasn't really playing all that great hockey before last night. I think before last night his save percentage was .879, but he had the strongest game he's had so far this season. So hopefully, you know, he can get to that level more consistently. But again, you know, when we're talking about all teams here, not just Rangers, Islanders, you know, when you're 5-6 games, it's still such a small sample size. You try not to, you know, read into things too much. But, you know, it's, listen, 4-2 is certainly being a lot better than the situation the Oilers are in, at, you know, 1-4-1 or wherever they are. So, topic for another story, but overall I think the Rangers game has been pretty good.
Well, Anthony kind of led into that. It's going to be in the bar talking a little bit, guys, so get ready for that one. And I do have to say, before, because you guys hit all the points, it's important to have a system, because when things aren't going right, you go back to your system, and they're playing the 1-3-1 neutral zone just better than, like, this is the best defensive Rangers team I've seen in a long time. They're just completely killing any shots against. Now, the Nashville game, the problem was when you got the shots against, it was a breakaway, a leaked goal that went through Shesterkin, and then, you know, you have the one by Forsberg that just you rifled. But you can't, just because you're letting up less shot opportunities, you can't let them in. It's supposed to be, that's where Shesterkin's supposed to make the save. And that's where we all agree. Shesterkin did not have a good game versus Nashville. I was getting a little bit worried, guys, that Shesterkin was going to be that type of goalie that he can't have an 18-save shutout. He's got to have like a 30-save game all the time. And I think the game against Calgary, you kind of saw him come back a little bit. He made an outstanding save in the second period that was just, yeah, chef's kiss. And probably because his buddy in Long Island had two outstanding saves himself, and he had to try to catch up. So Rangers come out of the road trip. They get Edmonton coming up. They get Edmonton and, oh, but Vancouver this week. Edmonton tomorrow night and Vancouver Saturday night. It's going to be interesting. If the Rangers could come out with a split of those two games, you're talking about a 4-1 road trip. That's a hell of a good road trip. So, 3-1, I should say. All right, guys, we're going to get a message from DraftKings and then do some bar talk.
Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. And speaking of DraftKings, Anthony, I went 8-for-8 last night. I still want to keep bragging about that because that was a nice little $500 win for me.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And I tried to get the gimmies, but I had a tricky one with Seattle and Detroit. Originally, I was going to take Detroit, but then I was like, you know what, just take the over. I think that's going to hit anyway. Guys, welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying everybody around? So, I'll have a beer. I'll just take a shot. I will try to bring my energy up, bring your energy in the comments and play along. And, of course, why go to the liquor store when you can make it a drizzly night? Go on the app, start an account, click the link below, and, you know, have everybody bring everything to you. Beer, wine, liquor, what have you. Just... it's easier, great for parties. And of course, the Big Apple Hockey Trucker hats are also available down there. Filk, Erik Gustafsson, 4 points so far as a sixth defenseman for the New York Rangers. And he's had some pretty good seasons. A couple years ago, he got 38 points. Erik Gustafsson, or actually even last year, I believe, Erik Gustafsson will notch 30 points with the New York Rangers.
I'm going to buy around on this. He puts up a lot of points because he's adept at moving the puck. He's got a real good shot. He knows how to get the puck on net. He's very good at that, I would say. And I really like what he brings to this team. I think that they've lacked a bottom pairing puck moving presence for a while. And I think he fits the bill there. So I could see him between the time that he's going to get, and I think the fact that there are going to be a lot of shifts where he's going to end up playing with some of the top lines at times, and he's going to end up being on there, and he'll get some points. And then I think on power play too, he's going to help improve power play too. I really do think that his shoot first mentality helps that unit quite a bit. So I'm going to buy around. It may be a little bold, but I'm going to buy around on this one.
Anthony, what do you think?
I think there's two F's in Gustafsson. That's what I think, Mark.
Wait, no, that can't be. I put it in there. All right. Well, just for the record, there was the other one. I had a travel day myself, guys. I've been
at like my Arizona. All right. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go round two. I mean, if you said 40, I probably would have said beer, but I think he could do 30 for sure. you know, again, small sample sizes, but he got about 4 and 6 already. He's going to get, not a lot of power play time because, I mean, the first unit probably takes up the first minute, or minute of 15. But he moves the puck well. He gets the puck on net. Like I said, this is a guy that, has proved he could put up points in the National Hockey League with his, one outlier year in Chicago. And then, last year, Mark, he actually had 42 points. You were forgetting to add the 4 points he had from after he got traded. So 40 points last year. When he gets the minutes and he's given the opportunity, I think he can produce, and I think the Rangers are going to give him that to an extent. So I'll go round as well.
See, my first instinct is to say, and by the way, Anthony is correct on that. He had 42. I did say 38 to start. That was 38 just with Washington. I'm tempted to say beer over a round, but I'm going to go round. And the other thing I'm tempted to say is you worry if he's producing plenty. I wonder if that means somebody else is not producing. Maybe Kandre Miller or Jacob Trouba are producing, or maybe even Adam Fox. I did put a Mark messed up just now, didn't I?
Yeah, no. We had to deliver for the people. He asked why no Mark messed up.
The people were owed the Mark messed up. This one actually has a legit reason. But you know what, Gustafson, if he could provide some offense from that sixth defenseman, that bottom pairing, then that could really help. He's looked good so far. He's probably been maybe the Rangers' second best defenseman behind Anna Fox. And as Phil said, you need more out of Lindgren and Trouba, even though Trouba has been a shot blocking machine so far.
No, I said they need more out of the Fox and Lindgren pairing.
No, you did say that. I'm gonna make sure I get all my words right. I'd be worried about that, but right now, hey, keep it going. Keep doing what you're doing. Let the points keep coming. Anthony, this week, the New York Islanders let up 6 goals in an overtime loss to New Jersey, and one where Jack Hughes just was allowed to skate for about 5 seconds, completely unsupervised for the game winner. And, I mean, 7 goals last night, but 2 of them were empty netters. One of them was a pass back to the point that went all the way back into the empty net.
Mark,
but the Islanders need to tighten up defensively.
They didn't give up 6 goals to New Jersey. They lost 5-4. 5-4 in overtime against the Devils, not 6-4. yes, Mark, they need to tighten up defensively. Like I said, they need to.
Speaking about tightening up, Anthony.
They need to go back. Yes, get it together. they need to go back to that boring style of hockey. I mean, listen, I want them to score goals and I want them to be an exciting team, but. You gotta do what works, right? And what works is them playing that suffocating style of defense where they just frustrate the hell out of a team. The other team eventually just makes a careless mistake because they're just, they're really frustrated and they're being stifled. Then you capitalize. Again, small sample size, so I'm not gonna like harp on it overly, but Adam Pellick and Ryan Pollock, they both need to be better defensively. They just do. I mean, those two guys lead the way. Granted, they don't play together anymore. They're broken up. But they're the top two defenders, and they need to be better. We already went over Noah Dobson. He needs to be better. Granted, he looks like he's like a man on a mission offensively so far. I mean, he's got off to a good start, but he needs to be better defensively. Romanov has been their best defenseman right now. He's cut down on mistakes and he's played the body and, he's had good gaps and long sticks and stuff, poking pucks away. So he's been good. Even Sebastian Aho hasn't been bad, but, Pellick and Pollock need to be better. And overall, again, the team structure, they need to pay more attention to detail, be on the right side of the puck, and just not do what you did last night. Simple as that.
Still around, right?
Yes.
All right. There's a round right there for that. Philk, same thing?
What do you think I'm going to say here?
And there it is.
I don't know what to say in regards to this because, I said it earlier on when we were talking about them, but this is also like master of the obvious material right here. I mean, they give up, what, 5 goals in one game, 3 in another, and then 7 in another. 15 goals in 3 games, and I mean, what other answer is there for this? You statistically can't disagree with this in any aspect. So, I mean, if it was like Ilya Sorokin was playing like crap and was just letting in shots like Dan Kluche and Nicholas Lidstrom in the 2002 playoffs, then okay, maybe they don't need to tighten up defensively. But this is not the case. It's poor defensive, leaky, blown assignment hockey that we just haven't seen from them since Doug Weight was still coaching. Do you want to go back to the days of like Steve Sterling and how badly they played defensively back then? Like that's, I mean, if they keep doing this, that's what they're going to look like. So yes, they need to tighten up defensively.
Yeah, this is a hat trick. It's an easy one. It's where they just need to get back to what Islanders hockey is. Islanders hockey is grinded out in defensive style. And as we've just said just now, Ilya Sorokin has played out of his mind. And they're giving up 5 goals and seven goals with 2 empty netters. And another 3 goals versus Buffalo. No, they gotta do better. Get it together, boys. Get it together. One guy that's got it together very well, Jack Hughes, an NHL leading 14 points. We mentioned the game winner against the New York Islanders the other day. Chris T is saying, why do I have trouble? Why have a terrible feeling that Jack Hughes is going to put up 100 points? Is that what that says?
140.
Yeah.
140 points. He's saying 140 points. There we go.
Yeah.
Jack Hughes is currently the best player in the NHL. And guys, I'm going to start this off because I picked him to be the MVP this year. And I'm going to buy around on this one, especially when you could say the words currently, because right now he is leading the NHL in points. McDavid is going to catch up. He's McDavid. It's what he's going to do. And but right now I got to go with Jack Hughes. I have him as the MVP this year. So I'm just going to cede my time to you guys. Filk, what do you think?
No, McDavid's still the best player. Is Jack Hughes leading the NHL in scoring? Yeah. I mean, he's had a real hot start. He's scoring at almost 3 points per game. The way that he's playing right now has been last seen by Mario Lemieux in 1993, and that was a season that he scored 160 points in 60 games, including 69 goals. I mean, he was on pace to shatter Wayne Gretzky's single-season points record of 215 points. He would have scored over 220 points that year. He actually might have broken it by 10 or more points had he played the full 84 games in 93. So that's just putting in perspective what Jack Hughes is doing right now. But I still don't think he's the best player in the league right now. He's on a ridiculous heater. They used that word, 14-game heater, that term that was last year for New Jersey. He's on a heater right now. So, yeah, he's playing great hockey, but he's not the best player in the league. That's Connor McDavid until someone comes along and somehow becomes more generational than Connor McDavid. And I don't think that's Jack Hughes. I'm sorry.
Anthony, what do you think?
So, Mark, like you, actually, I picked Jack Hughes to win the MVP award. You know, in the fourth period when we all did our picks, you know, it was all McDavid, a couple of guys. And, I just picked Jack Hughes. I thought last year his 99 points, he was fantastic. And I just had a feeling that, you know, this year he was going to be even better. And look, is Connor McDavid the best player in the National Hockey League? For sure. But like, if you're talking about right now, Jack Hughes is playing like he's the best NHL player. I mean, 14 points in 5 games. I mean, he's just, every time he touches the puck, he makes something happen. And, you know, I think this is a guy that's for sure breaking 100 points this year. He's not getting stuck at 99 like last year. It's unfortunate because, you know, he plays in the Metro Division and, you know, for teams that we happen to like, the Devils having a player like this caliber is, you know, painful. But, man, is he really special. I think I stand by my MVP pick award for him this year, and right now he's certainly playing like one. So I'm going to go round.
Yeah, and he just looks like a monster, and he's just so casual about everything right now. Like, again, I go back to that game winner against the Islanders, where it was just, okay, you're going to give me the space. I'll just walk in a little bit more. There's the game winner. And almost the Keith – he could have done the Keith Tkachuk, pointing to the door and say, we're going home. All right. One team that had the record for the most wins in a single season or the most points, the Boston Bruins. They're 6-0 right now, but they got their wins over Chicago, two of them, Anaheim, San Jose, Nashville, and the LA Kings. That's a combined 10 wins between those six teams. The Bruins' record is more about their strength of schedule. Phil, sorry.
I'm probably going to buy around in this. I mean, they're playing close games against teams that are really not good. A lot like Chicago picked to be one of the worst teams in the league, a lottery team again. I mean, Anaheim, and they have Anaheim again for their next game. I mean, Boston's not beating great teams. The one team that they've beaten that's any good is LA. That's it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not buying them as this 6-0 juggernaut team. I said that they would fight for a playoff spot, and I still believe that they're going to fight for one. They might even get that last playoff spot. But this hot start is definitely due to the lack of competition that they have played through their first six games, with the obvious exception being the LA Kings, as I've said before. So I'm buying around on this. It's definitely due to the strength and schedule.
Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going round two. I mean, Chicago, they played beat twice. They're like John said, they're expected to be a lottery team again. San Jose, many picked them to be the worst team in the whole entire NHL. Anaheim, again, another bottom three team. So that's four wins over four really bad teams. Round.
Yeah, I got to make this one another hat trick, boys. And we're not really saying anything against the Bruins on this. What we're really trying to say is you'd love it if they had these wins over the Avalanche, the Stars, or somebody else that's at least knocking at the door. But, nobody's trying to take anything away from the Bruins. But if you start looking at them and going, look, hey, they're the only they're 6-0 right now. They're looking good. Are they?
They've allowed the least amount of goals in the league. But, Nashville, not a good team. They're expected to be a bottom leader. Two goals against them. San Jose, one goal. Chicago, in two games, one goal. Anaheim, one goal. L.A., two goals in the one game that they played against them. And that's the one team that's considered legitimate competition for them. So I want to see what it's like for them when they get to the strength, when they get past this Anaheim game, and then they have to play Detroit, who's playing better hockey. They look like they're taking the next step. Florida, who's hit or miss. Toronto, a legitimate team. Detroit again. Dallas, a legitimate team. The Islanders, who will be a tough matchup. That stretch of six games, to me, we're going to find out a lot more about the Bruins during that stretch.
And, Phil, just to go through and give the Bruins a little bit more credit on this, because just because they're playing the bottom feeder teams doesn't mean that, again, we're not taking anything away from them, but they're overcoming the mental aspects of it. They're playing every game regardless of when it is on the road trip. You're like, oh, we're playing the Blackhawks? Well, you can get up for it because now you got Bedard to worry about.
Yep.
But then you have, let's say, games on back-to-backs. Then you have a couple days off. Games at the end of a road trip. They're still finishing these games strong. Montgomery's doing a great job with them so far. But
yeah,
you're a little concerned. They're winning it on defense right now, right? Right, Anthony? That's all you
– I get it. They're good teams. You're supposed to beat teams that you should, you know.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good team. So I give them that. But I'm not going to buy into that, you know, they're going to be a juggernaut again because, again, look who they played. But so, again, you can't take away all credit for them because they got the job done they were supposed to. So kudos. But until they start playing, you know, some good teams here and really use as a measuring stick, I'm not going to, you know, just say, oh, well, everybody was wrong and they're going to be 100 and whatever they were last season. How many points?
No, of course. No, I'll say one last thing regarding them. And Matthew Patras has actually been really good for them. Mm-hmm. He's been a real surprise. He's got 4 points in 6 games, rookie season for him. Considering that Charlie Coyle and Pavel Zacha have really not given them anything offensively, this is big for them because this is exactly what they needed. Because as soon as Mark Scheifele was that extension was announced, I was like, oh God, Boston's in a lot of trouble. And Patras has actually been really good, and he looks like someone who's playing well beyond his years. So he keeps this up, I mean, Boston could end up being a playoff team.
Well, one team that has about 25% of the points that Boston has right now, the Edmonton Oilers, 1-4-1 on the season, only 3 points, and people have them as a Stanley Cup contender. Mr. LaRocco, the Oilers are in trouble.
I mean, when you have McDavid out for, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, that's not going to help things, but you know, again, it's still – you don't want to see the record they have. I mean, 1-4-1 clearly is not a good start. But still, it is still only 6 games, so I wouldn't say, like, they're obviously done because that would just be silly. But there is some reason for concern for sure. I mean, they're not defending well. Their goaltenders aren't giving them solid goaltending. And it goes back to their depth. I mean, you have Draisaitl, McDavid. I mean, Zach Hyman, you know, he's been good, but – after that, I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins likely isn't going to score 100 points again, and I still don't think they did enough changes in the offseason to make them a better all-around team. I mean, Connor Brown isn't what the doctor ordered. I thought they needed still a better, even after adding Matthias Ekholm, I think they still needed to improve their defense. And I still think they could have stood to, you know, change the makeup of their forward group a little bit. Because when McDavid and Draisaitl aren't carrying the load, more often than not, they're not going to win hockey games. So, you know, and you also have to consider they're in a conference too that have some improved teams that are going to give a little bit more pushback. So the longer they slide here, just the harder it's going to make on themselves to, you know, to make sure that they're shoo-in for the playoffs. I mean, there's improved teams. I mean, Arizona is an improved team, for an example. More on them. So while I wouldn't say they're quite like in trouble, like panic mode, I do think that, like I said, there is reason for concern in oil country.
Phil? Oh, wait. So that's a round, right, Anthony?
Beer. Beer.
Phil? Yeah, I'm going beer as well. It's too early to say in trouble. I don't like McDavid being out for 1 to 2 weeks. They didn't look good last night again. They got absolutely killed by Minnesota. Ryan Hartman had, 5 points in that game, a hat trick and 2 assists. I mean, he feasted on them last night. The Oilers did nothing, like Anthony said, to upgrade their defense or goaltending in the offseason. It seems like we're watching Pittsburgh West over there with all the dumb moves that they're making in terms of totally neglecting the two biggest areas of need in terms of what they're what they needed to improve. I don't get how Jack Campbell has 4 starts compared to Stuart Skinner's 3 when Jack Campbell has looked minor league caliber in net. I didn't understand starting him on opening night. I don't understand him getting the majority of the lion's share so far. I know it's 6 games and Campbell's got 4. But, I mean, why is Campbell getting the nod here? Why is this? I mean, Campbell's got, he's got 4 starts out of the 6 games. And Skinner's appeared in 3 of 3 games, starting 2 of them. So, Campbell has not been good. I don't know what's going on with the coaching over there. I don't know what they're seeing, but I think they may need to overhaul something because Jay Woodcroft is not making the right decisions. I was never totally sold on Jay Woodcroft, but if this continues, Jay Woodcroft will be gone, I would say, maybe by the end of November. if things don't turn around.
Because I mean, I think we all agreed when they signed Jack Campbell, it was a mistake of the contract that you gave him. I don't get that move. And he's got an .878 save percentage. What's even worse is, granted, he's only started three games. So again, not to reiterate, sample size, but Stuart Skinner's save percentage is .818. I mean, that's these two goaltenders that the kind of statistics they're putting out right now are horrendous. So yeah. they need to both be better. Simple as that.
It's not just Campbell. I'm saying I don't understand why he's getting the start when you had a guy that was up for the Calder last year. I mean, I don't get it. But for me, like you said, the biggest thing is the defense. They did nothing to improve it, and I don't trust the coach, and I don't know if the players trust the coach right now. It seems like the coach is lost. He's looking for answers, and I think that's part of it is because general manager, I think he's lost as well. He hasn't done anything to really address the big areas of need, and it's put the coach in a bad position. So it's a domino effect, and now you need to make some sort of adjustment somewhere. So I have a feeling that if things keep going south for this team, with Connor McDavid out for a week or two, that's no good because he's a big portion of their offense. That's the best player in the world, hands down. So if they come back from that and let's just say they lose all their games or something like that, or lose the vast majority of them until he comes back and they're down in the playoff race, maybe you start hearing his name on the hot seat sooner than later.
Guys, I got to tell you, and by the way, Anthony, thanks for taking all the goaltending stats because I had them ready to go. And I'm going to go round
on this. I got to head out and get Ella, though. So, you know, you guys are still on. When I get back, I'll hop on, but I got to go pick her up.
No problem. We needed you for this one, so thanks for staying on for it.
No problem.
But we had the goaltending stats. We're all ready to go, Phil. And Anthony ended up doing all the quoting for me. Sorry, hold on.
Yeah, you and I both put that.
Yeah, riveting television to have somebody that needs to blow their nose. Anyway, but Phil, this is something more of a concern for me. Number one in the league as far as like most goals against, so worst amount of goals against, the highest amount. Carolina Hurricanes, who right now are reeling with their goaltending and their defense. But right after them is the Edmonton Oilers with 27 in only six games, where Carolina's at least got seven games played, and some of these other teams, like Minnesota Wild, 25 goals against. But I don't see where I don't see where Edmonton improved in any way structurally or anything else. Mattias Ekholm was great for them at the trade deadline. But since then, I mean, they have to cut down their goals against. They're never going to learn this lesson. They're never going to do this. No, Edmonton Oilers are in trouble. And Connor McDavid might be able to save them, but what are they going to be, an eight seed? That's about it. This is supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender. They're not a Stanley Cup contender. Come on.
I don't think so.
And no, I definitely don't think so. One team, though, that's making a jump is the one that out here in Arizona I will be seeing Friday night. Can't wait to see what Mullet Arena looks like. 6 points in six games so far for the Arizona Coyotes, tied for fourth in the Central. Look, these Coyotes can make the playoffs.
I'm going to say beer just because they have a shot. I don't know how I feel about Calgary. They still don't look like they're improved, even with getting rid of Sutter and taking the shackles off. Calgary is a -9 goal differential. Seattle doesn't look like the team they looked like last year. It looks like their goaltending is finally catching up to them. They're also a -9 in goal differential, 25 goals allowed. Calgary's allowed 26. Edmonton's allowed 27. So they have a shot. I just don't think they're one of the better teams. I would take Vegas, Vancouver, and LA, and then Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota. And I think Winnipeg is probably maybe even a better team at this point. But would I be totally shocked that they made it? No, but I don't see it happening. So I'm gonna say beer here, but I do like the direction they're going in.
I love the direction they're going in. I love that there's a lot of pieces that are starting to fall into place for this team. You were talking about competition. That's what you're focusing on. And you know what? I'm going to echo that and keep going with that. I think Winnipeg is really the only team you have to worry about. And I think they're going to falter a little bit. I'm not a big believer in Calgary. So on the Kraken. They gotta keep building on it. That's a solid team, but I still don't know whether or not they're as good as they were last season. But there ain't much competition in that central division, and they're no longer the bottom feeder. They're starting to look down at teams like the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators. So basically then you have the Minnesota Wild, who are going to be still pretty good. It's always great to have a burp from water. How the hell did that happen? And then you look over to the Pacific Division, which you could have said early in the preseason, hey, they might have five teams in the playoffs. Now with the Oilers struggling, I mean, they're down to just their three, and maybe not that they get that. I think the Coyotes got a shot. I can only go beer on this because there's so much to go, and when you're a young team, you need to learn about the grind of the regular season. So hopefully the Coyotes keep it going. Can't wait to check out Mullet Arena in a few more nights. Another arena, by the way, Philk, that I can't wait to check out is Detroit. And I don't know if you noticed, Patrick Kane is still unsigned. Patrick Kane is a great fit for the Detroit Red Wings.
It's funny because I was watching the broadcast last night for Detroit and Seattle, and we're talking about Alex DeBrincat and how Alex DeBrincat looks like he has a fit as a feature guy in Detroit, and he wasn't the feature guy in Ottawa. If Kane goes there, where does he fit? Who is he playing with? Is he a feature guy? I don't know if he's necessarily the right fit in Detroit. I'm going to say beer just because I look at the makeup at that team, and I don't know if he necessarily fits. I really don't. Like, I like what Detroit has. I mean, they have some good young talent. I mean, obviously, you add to bring it to that mix of Dylan Larkin. I mean, he's playing on a line with Dylan Larkin right now and Lucas Raymond, and that's one of the best lines in the league. One of the very, very best lines in the league. I mean, could they serve to add another forward? But yeah, I mean, so there, on right wing, you have DeBrincat. Kopp can play any of the three positions. Comfort can also play right wing. You have Klim Kostin. And then you also have Austin Zarnik. They have wingers. They have guys that can play multiple positions. Jonathan Berger and Christian Fisher also. Lucas Raymond obviously also plays, you know, both positions. I guess you could bring him in, but who's centering him? Like, for me, like, what good offensive player is centering him? Like, is he a fit with Andrew Kopp as a center? Is he a fit with JT Compher as a center? Like, who's centering him? That's, to me, that's one of the biggest things that I worry about if I'm, like, you know, because they're not – here, to answer this question, no, they're not going to be playing together. They're not going to be playing together again. So I highly doubt that that's the case. So I don't think that Detroit's going to break up one of the best lines in hockey right now for Patrick Kane, unless things just go south. So I'm going to say beer because I'm not really not sure if he's a fit.
I think a young team sometimes they don't need the veteran to come in and change things up completely. I happen to think they're doing fine right now. You don't need to do this. And I look at, because the comparison as far as the surgery goes is Nicklas Backstrom. And he hasn't exactly been back to Nick Backstrom and playing. I mean, Nick Backstrom in the last couple seasons, like last year, 39 games. 7 goals, 14 assists, 21 points, minus 25, which not necessarily is Nick Backstrom to begin with. I just wonder exactly how much can you really realistically expect out of Patrick Kane this year? I mean, even if you want to say, oh, he's had the surgery, now he's going to be fine. I don't know, Phil. And that's what's making it hard. I don't know where he fits. I don't know where I could look over and go get Patrick Kane. He's going to be fine. So I guess I'm just going to go shot on this. I don't know where Patrick Kane goes. I don't know where that
magic I don't like is. The Nicklas Backstrom comparison. I understand if it's because they both had hip issues and surgery for it. But if you look at Nicklas Backstrom's numbers, they were on the decline for a while before that. Mm-hmm. Like a while. Like his last 70-point season was back in 2018-19. Then he had 54 points in 61 games in the COVID stopped season in 2020. 53 points in 55 games in 2021 is nice. But 21-22, 47 games, 31 points. Last year, 21 points, 39 games. He's got 0 points in 5 games this year. I think Patrick Kane is on a far less downward trajectory than Nicklas Backstrom at this point.
Yeah, but the reason why it's – and I agree with you that the points were going down, but it was the surgery. That's why all of us
– No, I know. That's but I'm saying it's – I don't think there's any comparison otherwise.
Okay. That's fair enough, Philk. That's fair enough. Hey, Philk, if you had a favorite team, they played last night because all of them played and a staggering different schedule for the NHL. So you were able to catch a piece of every single game. All 32 teams played in the NHL last year. Whoop, I made a mistake on that one. I had to fix that. All of them had to play last night. They are doing this again soon, though, if I recall correctly.
I think it's sometime in January.
Yeah. The NHL Frozen Frenzy is a success, and they should do it more often.
Yeah, that's a round. It's a layup, actually. You need to adjust. Yeah. They need to do more of this. So I would like to see it in February after the Super Bowl on like a Saturday or a Sunday. And I definitely think that they definitely need to do more of that. So, yes, this is an easy layup for me.
One thing we are always in agreement on, and I'll just throw my round up there too. Any way you can grow the game. And in this way, they did this opening night, and it was only 3 games, but it worked very well. You do it now, and you get the teams who they really – you know, you get to catch a different part of every single game. The gamblers are interested in it. I keep bragging that I went 8 for 8 on my parlay.
That's also how you're going to grow the game, the gamblers.
Yeah. And you get more of that. And then you also get this the red zone NHL. That they.
How do you think you're going to attract casual fans? You're going to market the game to them, and then you're also going to get the gamblers because the casual gamblers are going to look at DraftKings – whatever they use, and yeah, I noticed how I dropped DraftKings in there, but they're going to look at something like DraftKings and they're going to say, oh, hey, you know what? I don't follow hockey, but I do like betting. Let me bet on hockey. Let me see what this is. And then that's how they get into it. That's how you can attract fans that way. And yeah, don't have it on a Tuesday. You kind of have to have it on a Tuesday until college football and the NFL end. But, yes, that's why I said I want to see this in February or March after football season ends completely on a Saturday or a Sunday. So this way you can stagger them from 12 o'clock all the way until, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
You're onto something with that, Phil, because I think if you're doing that from 12 o'clock, then you have the early game. Then you stagger a 12:30 game in there. Then you have a 1 o'clock game maybe. Then a 2 o'clock game. So now you have 3 games going. Now the 2 o'clock game's going. And then you have a 3 o'clock game. Maybe do a couple more on the hour, maybe even every half hour. And you culminate it with an original 6 matchup, maybe like Detroit Toronto, Red Rangers Toronto, put Connor Bedard on. And I keep saying Toronto or Montreal, but those are
the other two original sixes. I mean, obviously Boston. You might as well just name the last team that I didn't say.
The other thing you're going to have to do with this is, like ESPN did last night when they did the whip around coverage, you're going to need a channel in which you can get this whip around coverage on. And part of what makes the NFL so appealing is that they have NFL Red Zone. The NHL needs an equivalent of that. And I'm telling you right now, when you could go from game to game to game, especially if you're a bettor, it's even better that way. Because you're watching more games, more highlights of games over time. You're getting more updates. I mean, like, look at this. Some guy won a grand after betting $2 a game last night. That's a huge parlay that he must have hit on. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So when you hit on something like that, you win a grand. I mean, this guy right here to over there, I should say, yeah, over there. Sorry, I can't point in the right direction that way. But, yeah, that guy won $500. So, but, yeah, so you need something like that, and you need that channel so that this way, I mean, even if it's ESPN2 or ESPN whatever the hell it is or whatever channel, NHL Network ends up doing it, somebody's got to do it so that that way there's constant coverage of this and you can just keep going and going. And ESPN went to commercial. Red Zone doesn't do commercials. So they got to make it like directly like – they got to make it exactly like Red Zone.
I just don't know how you can make it like Red Zone. And the only reason why I say it like that is because Red Zone's got the ability to cover sudden goals. Sudden scoring, as well as there's a buildup that goes to that. MLB Big Inning, there's a buildup that usually goes to that. I think the NBA one is Big Run or something like that. When a team's on a big run, they'll switch over a channel. It's just with the NHL, if you try to do just power plays, that's not going to work. If you try to do maybe momentum swings or something like that, but you just got to do live look-ins and just do that. And here's the funny thing, Phil, you mentioned a lot of things. We haven't mentioned the word fantasy. We talked about gambling, which is a good thing. We didn't talk about fantasy, and everybody had their fantasy team going last night. And I mean, although my goalies, two of them sat because it was Stuart Skinner and Marc-Andre Fleury. So that's where the good news about that was. They got a Hey, but I'm glad Skinner didn't start since Campbell got let up for seven, so or six, I think, with an empty netter. All right, because again, I gotta actually check around how the whip around it worked. There's gonna be YouTube clips on that, so I can't wait to see about that. And you got the right host. You got John Buchacross, who is an absolute gem in the studio. I love Booch. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for Big Apple Hockey's Far Talk. And obviously, last week I was under the weather. This one I'm half asleep because I just jumped on a plane and flew cross country right now. So having my fiance meet my parents, and she's already got one of them down. She's got to get the other one coming home later. Phil, as David pointed out, we got to get a Mark Messed Up shirt. So eventually we'll get a Mark Messed Up shirt. I mean, I like to get these a little bit more popular, but yeah, we'll get that around. All right. B-Rye, by the way, was saying earlier, Schneider has been brutal. He played better last night. How about?
Yeah, I think he played a little better. He still needs to be a lot better, more like he was when he first came up in 21, 22, but his first few games were not good. So I want to see him get better. But he's also adjusting to a new system as a young player, as a young defenseman. So it's even harder on him than it is the forwards and the veterans. So,
And also a new defensive partner.
And that too, yeah. I mean, he's had – let's see. He's been with Nemeth.
Mm-hmm.
Braun, Mikola,
Harper, Gustafson.
He's had like five or six defensive partners.
I think it's probably closer to six or seven.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's not easy when you're adjusting to a new system and a new partner, especially one who has the, you know, who has the inclination to get involved in the play offensively.
You think switching Gustafson and Miller could work?
No, I don't see what that does.
All right.
I mean, I think Trouba can be a calming influence on Miller as long as Truba's not trying to run around like a chicken with his head cut off. I don't see that being an answer.
As Mikey Red was saying, he'll take Mac and Chuck. He's a playoff beast, and regular season doesn't mean crap. You know what? That's a good point but Mac and Chuck was not considered a playoff player, and then last year he
changed all his critics.
You know, all it takes, Philk, one guy just to say, just to change things around. Alex Rodriguez, he had one good postseason, and everything else was changed. Granny is talking about Nick Backstrom. Backstrom said that the rehab was brutal. Was it the same type of surgery as Wilson and Marchand? I'm not exactly sure.
I would have to look up the details on that.
Yeah. So there's a lot that has to go with it. So Sunday Ticket isn't on DirecTV anymore. We do know about that. Hey, Philk, do you want to do a quick Jones. We forgot about Jones, and we forgot about Jared Tenorti at one point.
Yeah. I mean, not exactly great partners by any means.
Oh, no, Philk. It's not being called a Marquism whenever you call somebody or just misspelling the name. So, and Leo, thank you. Yeah, hip resurfacing is what Kane had, and I know that's what the same one that Backstrom had. I don't know if that's the same one Marshawn had, but we're going to check that out, guys. We're going to get back to you on that one. Yeah, so, Phil, did you want to do a quick fuck Doku?
Yeah, we'll try to do one quick.
We'll do one quick. And the good thing is I did not participate in any of them, so I don't have...
I didn't either.
Yeah, so you'll be able to knock this out in very shortly. All right. And let's do a quick let's play Buck Doku. Okay. So we need a New York Ranger and a Detroit Red Wing.
I go Ray Shepard.
I was going to say Mike.
Actually, Knievel. You know what? I'll go with a different one. Hold on. I just thought of one. Bob Arrett.
I always forget Bob Arry was a New York Ranger.
Wayne Gretzky's last season.
Bob Arry, 0.2%. A New York Ranger and a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Troy Loney.
Over Rico Fada?
Troy Loney.
The first guy ever to play for the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders in the same season. And a world championship gold medal.
This one's I'm just going to go Mika Zibanejad because it's the first one I know right off the top of my head, but it's going to be an obvious one.
Yeah.
World championships are harder because nobody really pays attention to those.
Yeah. I mean, I know Henrik Lundqvist won one.
So did Zibanejad. They were on the same team.
That's right. I was trying to think if Kreider won gold.
In no, the I don't think so.
Four. Okay, so
I really don't think so.
And Adam Fox, I mean, that was World Juniors. That's not the same case. We're going to go with this.
Capo Caco? Yeah. 2019. He won World Junior, World Championship in the same season.
Okay, we're going to go with Caco, 9%. So a bit of a failure for us on that one, but all right. L.A. and Detroit.
I could probably tell you right now, Jimmy Carson.
Easy, yeah, that's a good one.
That's
I mean, I can think
Peter Klima a king. I know he was a Red Wing. I don't know if he was a Tomas Santrum would be another one.
But I'm going to use him for Pittsburgh.
Okay, so you can use. Klima, you could use, actually, I would use Klima for Pittsburgh and LA because Klima played for Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we could use Tomas Santrum here then.
Because Klima did play for LA.
Tomas Santrum, 0.8%, and Peter Klima? Which is funny that we're talking about Peter Klima, Phil, because after all, he had the game winner in game one versus Boston in 1990 when the lights went out.
Yes.
In the Stanley Cup Finals. World Championship gold. Easy to say Nicklas Lidström, right?
That's not Detroit, bud.
Oh, sorry. That's right. I went the other way. It's L.A.
L.A., dude. Yeah. I was about to say, where are you getting Nicklas Lidström?
The reason why you don't say those things right away, guys.
World Championship L.A. This is a tough, tough one.
I got one, but he's a 13%er, so I'm going to actually see if we can do better than that. I don't think he won gold. World Championship LA. By the way, the 13% was Rob Blake. Rob Blake.
World Championships is hard because it's gold medals are broadcast for everybody for like Olympics and you know, even World Juniors is easier to access. World Championships are not really broadcasting anywhere. You have to really look for those unless you're watching them on NHL Network. So the past ones are not really like available. Like right offhand. I would just go with Blake because I really don't know anybody right off the top of my head for that.
Okay, so we'll just do that just to keep us going. Because I'm pretty sure if we had a chance, we would we'd be able to get around that. To Rob Blake, 13%. Our uniqueness score, 22. We're very much embarrassed by that. All right, 40-plus career playoff goals, Detroit Red Wings. Dino Cicerelli?
Yeah, he would be one. I wouldn't want to use him, though. I think he's a little more obvious.
He's a 1%er.
1%?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if you could come up with somebody better. Who would be Chris Draper? Kurt Maltby? Those guys.
I want to say Ray Sheppard.
Oh. Ray Sheppard in his career. Ray Sheppard had 30 career playoff goals. 14 with Detroit, 10 with Florida, which is amazing. Yeah, 10 with Florida. None with the Rangers, none with, well, obviously none with San Jose. So how about, let's say, Chris Draper, we said before. But I think Chris Draper is going to be an obvious one, to be honest.
No, I don't think he made it.
24. All right, so then it's definitely not Maltby. Fedorov's an obvious one. How about Darren McCarty?
I don't think he made it either.
I don't think he made it either. I think you're right. Darren McCarty, 23. Let me see what you guys are saying right here. Todd Bertuzzi, Mikey Red. I kind of like that one, but I don't know. Oh, Diaz for the Rangers. That would have been a good one, too. Well, what about Alex Delvecchio? I mean,
I was just going to say Alex Delvecchio, but I think he might fall short because he was more of a playmaker.
35. He just falls short.
You used Sandstrom already, right?
Yeah, I used Sandstrom for Detroit and LA.
Damn it.
Dino Cicerelli?
Luke Robitaille would be an interesting one, but he's probably going to be fairly obvious.
He's going to be obvious. Brett Hall would be obvious. You know, let's go because we do have the unique score is already pretty high. Let's try.
Yeah, I would say Cicerelli then.
Yeah, I'm going to try one more guy just really out of curiosity. 40 career playoff goals. Oh, he does. Oh, Pat Verbeek did not make it. Okay. All right. So we're going to do Cicerelli and keep it going. One percenter. All right. 40 career playoff goals, Pittsburgh Penguins.
I mean, there's a bunch of them here I can think of. Joel Mullen is an interesting one just because, I mean, I know that he's up there. He won three Stanley Cups. Ronnie Francis. I mean, you can think of Jaromir Jagr. I would say I don't think Kevin Stephens made it. I think he fell just short. Because
I'll check Kevin Stephens real quick. Joe Mullen is short.
No, Kevin Stephens did actually. Kevin Stephens would be a good one.
Let's see who would be worse. Joe Mullen, 1%. Kevin Stephens. I think he might be less than one. Nope. Kevin Stephens is a 2%er.
I wonder if Peter Nedved made it.
Does he have 40 career playoff goals?
I don't know. I no, Nedved didn't.
Nedved tended to be a good player on bad teams. 19 career playoff goals.
Alexei Kovalov is another one. I wonder if Marty Straka?
I don't think Straka's made it. Marty Straka, who had the goal in Game 5 for the Buffalo Sabres.
That was wiped out by a phantom Brad Isbister goaltender interference call. Ryan Miller flopped. And Ryan Miller, thank you for coming on the show, but you flopped so badly on that call. It wasn't even funny. No, Straka, 26.
26.
For Penguins.
I think Joey Mullen is the answer.
I mean, you go with Mullen.
We're going to go with Mullen because we have one more hard one to do. We got to figure out somebody that won a world gold and have 40 career playoff goals. Hmm. 40 career playoff goals. Let's see what you guys got right here. Holmstrom is
so wait, does the Canada Cup count towards World Championship gold?
I think that is actually
I because it's an IIHF tournament. So yes. I think it should count towards that. So if that's the case, I actually have a bunch of guys that I believe that would fall under this category. Brian Propp would be like the first one I could think of. Him and Rick Tocchet were like the two guys that were right off the top of my head because I'm pretty sure they were both on that team. in 87.
Brian Propp, 64 career playoff goals. Let's see. You know what? Let's see how that works. Brian Propp.
Yeah, Brian Propp was on that roster.
This Brian Propp, correct. So they're not counting that one.
They're not counting that?
No.
That's
I did that on the side.
That's bullshit. It is a world championship because it's a gold medal in a non-Olympic IIHF tournament. It's the same thing.
David's saying Roman Josi.
Yeah, but he doesn't have 40 career playoff
goals. He doesn't have 40 career playoff goals. Yeah, Leo is saying Canada Cups and World Cups are different.
World Championships are different. I find that to be complete bullshit, but okay.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
I don't think Miroslav Satan has 40 career playoff goals.
Yeah.
I don't think he was even in the playoffs enough to have 40 career playoff goals.
You know, he had a lot more playoff time than what people give him credit for, or that you might think, because he appeared with the Islanders.
He had 21 career play. I wonder, Patrick Elias, did he win World Championship gold?
He must have. Well, first Patrick Elias, let's get that first thing out of the way. 45 career goals. Let's see.
Did he?
Patrick Elias is not an answer. I hate when they throw this one out there. Yeah, Elias is not. He got two bronze. Thank you, Leo. Who was it that said before? Let me just answer one of these. One of the guys mentioned Rico Fada. David, Rico Fada, who was in the Alexei Kovalev deal, he was a 0.3 for the Penguins and the Rangers. So Troy Loney is still a quintessential answer. And yeah, times like this, you feel like just typing in your mother. Go screw yourself.
I don't even know. This is a tough one.
That's a tough one. 40 career playoff goals. And this is where it's like, I mean, Lindros? Wrong one.
Did Eric Lindros have 40 career playoff goals? I don't know. I mean, no, he had only 24 in 57 games.
Okay.
In 53 games, he had 57 points, though. That's nuts. He made the playoffs a lot, but, I mean, he just... They were just like first round. There were two of his. He only played two games in 99-2000 because obviously coming back from the concussion and then getting concussed again by Stevens. 97-98 was a first round knockout. And then they were only three really runs that he had. 95 to the Eastern Conference Finals. 96, they got knocked out by Florida. And then 97, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I have a 3%er. I'm trying to see if I could do one better for us, Phil. Patrice Bergeron.
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Okay. So Patrice Bergeron. And in case if you were wondering on the last one, let's go with some of these. View stats. Yeah. Sidney Crosby was 42%. That's one reason why I knew about that one.
Yeah.
Justin Williams, Brendan Moore. I was thinking Brendan Moore. And, of course, Anthony's favorite, Steve Thomas, to use. Daniel Breer, Grovetide, Mark Recchi. I should have known Mark Recchi, too. Come on, he's played in everything. And you get guys like Nate McKinnon usually early in their careers. because you got to think about these players, like, say, for Sergei Fedorov and Pavel Datsyuk. They'll play for Russia if they're out, because their national programs, they basically always have them coming back. Like, you don't get as many Americans doing that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So. All right. So that is it on the Puck Doku, boys. And we're actually, yeah, did Marcus Naslin win gold? He wasn't on there, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's because he didn't have enough assists. I think Naslin won gold. It's so hard to tell, because, like you said, the IHF, it's not the Olympics. It's not.
They don't get the fanfare. They're not watched. You have to really look for that. It's not really talked about about China, because it's in the off season.
So. Yeah. And after all, Great Britain won in 1937 and 1950. How about that? All right. Just waiting for Phil to come on back, guys, and then we'll do a sign off. Ovi, yeah, could have gone with Ovi, because I definitely know the Russians had one. But so yeah, a little bit subdued today. I guess we could have used this stuff for the Islanders. Speaking of which. To help them, remind them that they need to.
Well, then get your shit together. Get it all together and put it in a backpack. All your shit. So it's together. And if you got to take it.
I'll spare everybody the rest of that one. I do love using that clip, though. All right, Philk. So the Rangers go to Edmonton. I think it's safe to say, if you're a gambling man, bet the over in that game.
I don't know. I don't necessarily know. I mean, Edmonton still can score goals, but this is going to be a tough team that they're going to play defensively here. I mean, as long as the Rangers don't have one of their brain fart games where they just don't show up and they kind of take Edmonton lightly, Leon Draisaitl still has 11 points through six games. That's just stupid. It just shows you how good he actually is. And I mean, looking at the strength of their schedule so far, they lost back-to-back games in Vancouver, where they got absolutely blown out the first game, opening night, and then they let up another four, you know, three nights later. They lost to Philadelphia 4-1, which is surprising. An overtime loss to the Jets, and then they get killed by Minnesota. So this is a team that's pretty leaky, and the Rangers, I mean, they're not scoring a ton of goals. I mean, they've only had more than four or more goals twice so far in these six games, and it was against Nashville and Minnesota, who admittedly isn't playing well defensively either. So I think the Rangers could shut them down, but you're going to have to show up to play.
Yeah, because that's what I was giving the Bruins credit on. They have they showed up for every single game. So, Edmonton Oilers -10 in goal differential right now, -10, and consider this: they won a game 6-1, and they're -10, so they could be -15 if you take away that game. Like, that's how bad things are right now in Edmonton. So. You gotta wonder if they're gonna get it together. I don't know. So we're gonna find out about that soon enough. I gotta actually get a soundbite for Maria saying that. Get it together. And get that in here.
Figure it out.
I already got a couple other sound bites I have to get in.
Yeah, you have to use the letter thing, figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out, man.
Figure it out.
Because, I mean, after all, we got plenty of letter Kenny in there. But, Phil, it's the last word. What are you looking forward to this weekend? Or the NHL, or just anything otherwise?
Just looking forward to tomorrow night's game. And then, you know, obviously Saturday night in Vancouver. Vancouver's actually playing well. They're going to be a tough test. Elias Pettersson has picked up right where he went off. Elias Pettersson, I should say. They are 4-2, just like the Rangers right now, and they've scored a lot of goals in their games. I mean, the only game that they haven't scored a goal, they got shut out by Philly, weirdly. but every other game they've played, three or more goals, and they've had four or more goals in three games, including five and an eight-goal game. So Vancouver is scoring. They're a pretty deadly team.
Yeah, matter of fact, by the way, David, D-backs going to be in the World Series. That's going to be taking place down the street from Mullet Arena. They're actually not right down the street. It's going to be in Phoenix. But I've played on that field before, so it's nice that I played on a field where a World Series is won. Rangers and D-backs in the World Series. That's how you know sports is not great. Nobody had those two teams on there. Wu-Tang PJs, it was, this is the outro music. This is my cousin Phil. God rest his soul. But this is a good song to have an outro for. Guys, thanks every single week for joining us. If you miss any segments, I'm going to be putting more segments on and also plenty of shorts. So thank you all very much. And we will be back every Wednesday, same format, talk more hockey for you. So thank you very much, everybody. And
take care. Have a good night. Let's go, Rangers.